A new book challenges us all to put our health before our inbox. You're listening to SDPB's In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Manoush Zomorodi is host of NPR's TED Radio Hour. Her podcast and multimedia exploration of the impact technology has on our bodies is now summarized in the book Body Electric, The Hidden Health Costs of the Digital Age. Zomorodi visited Northern State University when students there read her book called Bored and Brilliant. That was for their common read in 2019. And for this release, I caught up with Zomorodi via Zoom. We talked about her latest project and how she came to be interested in tech reporting.
So I was never really into science or technology, but really about 20 years ago now, well, less than that, when the iPhone came out, which was in 2007, that's when I really started to think technology was changing my life. Like it made it possible for me to be at the playground and look up what time the library was open while also answering an email. Should I be doing all three at once? Well, those questions came later. But for me, it was sort of an anthropological approach to technology. So I sort of took my background reporting in business and tech and started really applying it to how tech was changing how we lived, how we thought, what we believed, how we learned, how we work. And here we are nearly 20 years later. And this latest book is really an exploration into, and here's the very scientific term, Lori, why we feel like crap at the end of the day after we've been on our screens for hours at a time. This really, for me, came to a head during the pandemic, like so many people, when our social lives, our relaxation, our work, our everything went online. And, you know, I was healthy, I was safe, and I just could not understand why I was so physically drained when I hadn't moved all day. It sort of didn't make sense to me. So this is my sort of digging into the biology of what happens when the human body meets a computer that can be endlessly updated and plugged in. And unfortunately, we cannot, or fortunately, I should say.
Yeah. And the way it was designed. And one of the things that you looked into was the rise of the personal computer in what, like the 80s, and who it was designed for, who was doing that work. And tell me a little bit about the way some of these products have actually been designed and how that design still impacts the impact they have on us physically today.
Yeah. So I go into, you know, every time a new innovation comes along, it makes our lives more efficient. And, you know, that's great. Anybody who's done farming knows what hard work it is. But one of the things that happens is these efficiencies then crowd out other things in our lives, whether that's sitting on a lawnmower instead of pushing a lawnmower, or in the 70s, bringing for the first time personal computers into newspapers and banks. And there's a really fascinating story that Shoshana Zuboff, she is a researcher who wrote an amazing book called The Surveillance Economy. And she was one of the first people who was brought in to observe some of these workers, bank clerks, who were using computers instead of, you know, writing and ledgers. And she sat there and watched them as they looked at their screens all day. And she asked them, you know, how do you feel? And they described something that I think might sound familiar, which is, I feel disconnected. I feel like I'm floating, like I'm foggy headed. And many of the bosses were confused. They're like, this is supposed to make people make fewer mistakes. And yet they were making more mistakes, just different mistakes. And so I think, you know, we see this through the ages as screens come into our lives, they crowd out other things. That doesn't mean that we're necessarily, you know, destroying our brains or destroying a generation. It just means that we have to be more thoughtful, more specific about the very human things that we need. And as I found when I went to sort of understand what was happening to me biologically, the human body needs movement. And I'm not talking about, you know, a workout in the morning or, you know, killing yourself at boot camp after work at night. I'm talking about gentle movement throughout the day. And a study that I came across that really explained what sitting and staring at a screen all day does to you mentally and physically, and how simple movement biologically can reset you, your focus and your mood and actually your health.
You asked a whole lot of people to join you in this global clinical trial to do some research, and a lot of people said yes. Tell us a little bit about what you were hearing from people who said, yeah, this is a problem for me and I want to find out what to do about it.
Yeah, we had over 23,000 public radio listeners join a global clinical trial. We partnered with Columbia University Medical Center, and we asked them to try to get gentle movement breaks into their day. And not only did people manage to do it, 80% of them said they liked doing it, 82% of who started stuck with it. And we saw reductions of around, on average, 25% in fatigue. People felt that they got back to their desks and were able to concentrate. Taking movement breaks, it sounds like a lot of interruptions, but actually their productivity rose slightly. All those interruptions made them able to do their work more efficiently. We heard from people who lost a few pounds, had aches and pains go away, and just honestly, I think most importantly, didn't end the day feeling wrecked. They had energy to go play with their kids, to run around with the dog, to just make dinner. And I think what we learned was that if we want people to be just a little less anxious, a little more, find a little more joy in life and get back their energy, adding just a little bit of movement through the day can have outsized benefits. And actually, if depending on where you are in life, if you're in your 20s, that might be enough for you. But if you're getting older, like me, it also can make a huge difference when it comes to treating or and stopping, preventing chronic health diseases like obesity, high cholesterol, diabetes, all sorts of things that really creep up when you spend hours seated.
So why do we feel, obviously there's a lot to say about this, but in a nutshell, why do we feel like crap after sitting in front of our screens all day at work? What's happening physiologically?
It's fascinating. It's crazy. So this researcher, this physiologist at Columbia who I partnered with, Keith Diaz, the way he explained it to me is when you sit, you have to think of your body being kinked at your waistline and your knees, kind of like a garden hose. Mm-hmm. And when you kink a garden hose, what happens? The water gets backed up, pressure builds. It's the same exact thing that happens with blood in your legs. And actually, leg muscles need to be stimulated to do all sorts of things, one of which is to extract glucose, blood sugar, out of your blood and process it. Another is to push oxygen up to your brain, which explains why, you know, if you can't concentrate anymore, that's because CO2 has built up and that will make you tired and unable to focus. And then the other thing I learned about was something called interoception. So this is a relatively new field of research, which is about how the body signals us what it needs. So some of that is subconscious, that taking a breath. You don't usually think about that unless you need to. But other things, you know, this has happened to me where I've suddenly realized that my foot has fallen asleep because I've been sitting in a funny position at my desk. So we often stop listening to the signals that our body is sending us because we are so enraptured by what is going on in front of us and we are powering through. And oftentimes, if we did listen to our body, it would tell us, I'm feeling like I can't focus anymore, that I need to move, that I need some water, that I am anxious or just tired. And when we can start to get in touch with our interoception and listen to what our body needs, Well, then we can just make better use of the time we are spending with our technology and maybe even not hate our jobs or hate our phone or want to throw it into Walden Pond, right? I think it's about finding that balance between the human needs and the sort of economic needs that are pressed upon us.
I love the word interoception because it sort of intellectualizes this whole thing too in a way that is new and interesting. And I was also wondering if we have gotten good. Like if you're out running and you try to push, your body is telling you to slow down or stop, and you're trying to push it right to that part where like, no, I can expect a little bit more of you without injury. Like sometimes we apply that to sitting. Like, yeah, you want to get up.
So true.
But keep pushing, keep focusing, and you can get a little bit more done, or you can finish that chapter, or you can, you know, hang in there. And that is more self-destructive than I realized until I came upon your work.
That, I think you make an incredibly good point. And I think, if anything, what I have found is that people need an understanding, an excuse. They need permission to take those breaks. And, you know, let me tell you now, if you are like, oh, just push through, just finish this document, there are things going on in your body that you will pay the price for later. Some people, it might be a backache. Other people, it will be actually not great work because they're pushing themselves past their physical capability. I know it's counterintuitive, but taking breaks is actually the key to productivity. And so it's a hard lesson to learn, but we have proof from 20,000 people. Their productivity actually rose and they felt better in their bodies. And, you know, the other thing is, Lori, I feel like, you know, you're in the news business. It feels like the world is on fire. But if we can give people something very simple to do that helps them reconnect with the world, you know, it's a little bit of a touch grass sort of meme thing. It's free. It is easy. It will make you feel that much better. It might actually bring you, you know, keep health problems at bay. It may make you find just a little more joy in life. And if you don't have this problem, I guarantee you, your coworker, your parents, or maybe your kids are struggling. And just being like, hey, you want to go for a walk around the block? Just that can have a huge impact. And science has shown us how.
And a slow walk around the block, a fairly
leisurely
stroll around the block as well. I'm wondering about this, and that is it because taking a 5-minute break for some gentle movement, and you do mean gentle, can be something that most people can probably accomplish. And your research shows 80% of people stuck with this. But I'm also wondering if it is all on us, or if you are starting to see, did you find policy initiatives, you know, something like in the Industrial Revolution, unions who stepped forward and said, no, we were going to require these things. Is the science turning into kind of any policy pushes?
I wish I could say it was. The U.S., as always, is behind when it comes to mandating workplace health policies. You know, I think the Scandinavian countries, as always, are ahead of us when it comes to that. But I do worry about it sounding like, you know, you can do better. You can just integrate these movement breaks and you'll be all set to go. And really, I think it's important to recognize that our world is built around sitting and looking at screens, whether it's, you know, you're in class on your laptop or you're work from home or you're in the office. And what do we do at night? We watch some Netflix, get on the family WhatsApp chain. And so what we need is a cultural shift where it's normal for people to say, I'm going to turn off my Zoom camera so I can walk and listen to our conversation, or to make it normal that, like, let's go for a walk around the block as a family every night after dinner. What Keith showed in his lab, and I actually joined his study, was that walking for 2 miles per hour, that is a stroll. That is not burpees, that is not sprinting. Just that can have a real effect. Even 1 minute of movement per hour has been shown to improve people's mood and their blood pressure. So it's not about, you know, turning us into robots who are doing circles around our dining room table. This is about just getting back into the world, trying to take breaks throughout the day instead of scheduling all of your exercise first thing in the morning or last thing at night. Just getting off the screens to get back into our brains and our bodies, no matter what age we are.
Manoush Zomorodi's book, Body Electric, is available now. She's the host of NPR's TED Radio Hour and the Body Electric podcast. You can find them wherever you get your podcasts on your favorite platform. That's also where you can find and share In the Moment podcasts, or just tell a friend, because word of mouth is always the best way to increase our podcast listenership. If you have an idea for In the Moment, send me an email, inthemoment@sdpb.org. From all of us here at SDPB, that's our conversation for today. I'm Lori Walsh, and thank you for listening.